Love Talk Radio.
Go,
Glory, 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 glory. Jesus is the only way. The songwriters say we know that too, because the words say so. He's the only way, he's the only truth, and he's the only life. Without him, you are dying. We are dying without him. He is the only way. That's why we need to get him in our hearts. Oh, my Lord, I just enjoyed that worship this morning. I'm cutting the worship short this morning because, I don't know, last night, Pastor Vic said she'd be wanting to listen to the, but sometimes the worship seems like it's too long, not for me, but when I'm worshiping the Lord, I like to put the worship out there. But this morning, I'll cut a little cut bit and get back to where I like to be. And this morning, we thank you, Father God, for your keeping us through the night and bringing us into this new day. Lord, we are expecting more storm this weekend, more snow. But Lord, we are thanking you because we are not complaining, because we know that you do all things in order, decent and in order. Lord, you know when to send the snow and when not to send the snow. You when to send the rain and when to let the sun shine. You know exactly when the fruits need the fruit trees and when we need the sun to get our vitamin D. Oh, Father, I just thank you right now that you continue to bless the airways. Bless, oh God, your people that's in this earth realm. Lord, awaken all of us to the truth, oh God, that we will begin to speak the truth without any equivocations. Lord, no compromising, oh God. We pray this morning, Lord God, that you touch every single one under the sound of my voice, and even those that are not on the line. Right now, Lord, we ask to send the spirit of the word, oh God, to heal their bodies, oh God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, God, for Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James, Apostle Millie Jefferson, and Brother Deacon Fraser, Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Lord, we thank you for Evangelist Campbell and Evangelist Brown and Evangelist Sheila and Evangelist Tina. Lord, we thank you for Prophetess Jackie Taswell, Tizzle. Lord, we just thank you for all those that come on here from time to time. Sister Anna, Lord, we just bless you and praise you, O God, because you are mighty God. God, you're keeping us in the midst of all that is, O God, attacking the earth even right now. All of the viruses, all of the stabbing and the shooting and all the stuff that's going on that's contrary to life, oh God. We pray, God, that, Lord God, you continue to watch over us. You continue to order our steps. You continue to fill us and give us that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, Father, we love you so much because you first loved us. We ask, oh God, that you continue to impregnate us with your word, oh God. Fill us, oh God, to overflowing. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. We're going to play one more song, and then, because I got something to do right now, quick, fast, and hurry, and then we'll be back to go into this part three of this message. I think I got one more part, or maybe two parts more of this to do, but we'll see what the Lord says. We'll play one song.
I think something you We are the people of my country, and I tell you what my truth of truth is, and it's more than that. God alone, on the feet, will God die, I'll make it through, you may not see. So it's what we do, that the enemy is in the wind, and the rest of the world is in the wind, and the rest of the world is in the wind, and the
Yes, we are here. Glory to God, glory to God. We are so, I just phoned this CD last night, surfing through YouTube, and I tell you, it's an awesome worship CD. They played some tracks early. Oh, my Lord. It just took me to another place. I could have just danced before the Lord and just enjoy what God was doing in those worship songs. Yes. We're going to go in here. Father, we ask that you bless this word. We know your word is already blessed, but we're asking that you bless this word and allow me to see, hear, and speak your truths, O God. Father, I don't know even how I'm going to deliver this word, but I have to do it by the Spirit. Lord, I have no notes. You know that, Lord Jesus. All I have is the Spirit. I ask you, O God, to let this mind that I have be in the mind of Christ, O God. Oh, God, I just pray this morning. Lord, I just feel the need to just touch this thing right now, Lord. Lord, we ask, oh, God, how you moved last night on Pastor Vic's line. Lord, move on this church line today, Lord God. We are hungry and we are thirsty, oh, God. God, all we want to do is hear from you, Lord. If you don't speak, God, we wouldn't hear. And if you don't give us the instruction, we wouldn't do. Oh, Father, like Moses says, if you don't go, he wouldn't go. Show me your glory, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Here we got to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Lord, show me a scripture this morning in Ephesians that, man, I think it just blessed me. It was just so awesome. Glory to God. Here in the book of Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, he's talking about, he is quoting the book of Exodus where they came out of Egypt and they crossed over through the Jordan River, through the Red Sea, and how God protected them by the cloud by day and the fire by night. He's talking, this is what he's saying. And he just wants us to know that God is our protector. He wants us to know that God is our shield, that we can depend on God, that we can rely on God. If he did it 7,000 years or 8,000 years ago, he'll do it again today for us. We got to understand that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God never changed. The Bible says he changes not. He changes not. We change. We get so saturated, we want to be with God. We are so excited. We are bent over here, want to be with God. And then when something go wrong, we say, I don't want to be on that line no more. I don't want to go to that church building no more. I don't want a fellowship. You know, we do that. All of us come to that place from time to time. But Paul said he wants us to remember that the same God that delivered the Israelites out of Egypt and take them through the Red Sea and bring them on in a place that they didn't even know the place, but he took them there, gave them the land of their enemies. He wants us to know this. Now he went on and said, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now, no, see what this God has given us, the same thing. He is not segregated. God looks at us the same way. He treats us the same way. You know, somebody said, well, I'm a bishop, I'm an apostle, I'm a chief apostle, archbishop, whatever. I got more clout than you, but not in the sight of God. You may have more clout here because of your title or your giftings, but in the sight of God, we are all his children. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's not going to say, well, I put you up on a pedestal and put them on the floor. He's not going to do that. That's not the kind of God that we serve. But, you know, a lot of preachers today, because they may have a big building, they have a couple of Rolls Royces or so on, and, you know, they have houses in different countries, they feel they're better than the small preacher that only have 20 or 30 people, no? But you're the same. This person in that little church may have such an anointing, my Lord Jesus, that the person with that big old church, mega church, they know anointing, they have a lot of motivational speaking. They're walking and shaking their head and pushing their chest up like they arrived, but they have no anointing. That little church, you go in there and people are getting healed. This testimony is coming back from that little church for what God has done, what God is doing. Will blow your mind. Will blow your mind. Hallelujah. We had an evangelist in my country. Lived for many, many years. That man looked, he was in his 80s and looked like he was 40-something years old. Skin was like silk. And he used to go every parish in the country. He would take the whole church. They would take the bus and the cars, and they would go in all every parish, evangelizing the parish, the country. And I tell you, when they come, they got a big old circle, and everybody dressed in white. Everybody dressed all white. And the women had this turban on their head. Everyone had one on their head. And I tell you, the Spirit of God would come down in that place. They didn't have no organ. They had tambourines. Then they had organ and bass, guitar, and drums and all that. They had that stuff. What they had with the Holy Ghost, foot stopping and hand clapping, and God would show up. God show up all the time. People got healed, followed on the dirt, followed on the dirt, and they let leave alone. They threw a blanket over them or a sheet, and they're on the floor on the dirt. Just allowing God to do it. All that drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock. And that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Even then, Jesus was in the picture. He didn't just get in here in the New Testament. He was in the picture way back then. From the beginning, he was there. He was always present, and he will always be present. The God Jesus, Yeshua, that we serve, is always present. He's not absent in any way. Hallelujah. People say, well, he just come on here 2,000 years ago. No, he was from the beginning. He was from the beginning because the Word told us that. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that Jesus is the Word. We know he is the Word. Hallelujah. He is the spiritual Word, the living Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Okay, honey. Be safe. Then he says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Everybody you see in the house of the Lord, God is not pleased with them. I know it's hard to say this, but it's right here in the Word. They're in the body, but God's not pleased with them. Why? Because what they're doing, what's in their heart. Remember we told you yesterday that idolatry is in the heart. It's not always on a mantle. It's not always on the wall. You know, they have this mindset. You know, they have this mindset to worship these different entities because they believe that these things are going to make them rich. It's going to cause them to prosper. They don't see the spiritual prosperity that God has given to us, that we have joy, we have peace, we have patience, we have long-suffering. Hallelujah. We have kindness. Hallelujah. He gives this to us. Those are riches. You can't buy those. You can't go to the store and purchase kindness. You can't purchase long-suffering. You can't purchase our love. You know, you ever hear them say people are looking for love in all the wrong places? Some folk will say, well, because this guy, he has degrees and he drives a BMW. Because one time when I was growing up once, if you had a BMW, that was it. I mean, you was the talk of the town. You was the talk of the town. So everybody would try to raise money to try to buy a BMW. Because then they can get the nice-looking girls. The nice-looking girls want to put their elbow in the window. You know, so everybody can say they're riding with you. Because you got the BMW. But the BMW don't get you to heaven. God gives us what gets us to heaven, the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit keeps us so we can go to heaven. Why did the Holy Spirit keep us? He keeps us from sinning when we allow him. I got to say that. When we allow him, he keeps us from sinning because we still have a choice. You and I, all of us still have a choice. Even with having the Holy Spirit inside of us, we still have a choice. Do you ever notice that some folk can speak in tongues? They can sing in a spiritual language. They can play all the instruments on the altar or on the floor where they're in the sanctuary. They can preach from Genesis to Revelation and still they act like the devil. Why? Because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them into all truth. Jesus says, expedient that I go to the Father. But when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. He knows that we're going to need help. Because we cannot stand in the midst of these satanic forces that's in this earth realm in our own being. Doesn't matter how much word you learn, you can know that. You can. I know a preacher when I was in Africa. He didn't have to. A little short guy. He wasn't there 4 or 5 or something like that. Little guy. You didn't have to give him the Bible. All you got to tell him, are you ready to preach? And he said, well, why don't you go to this book? And he's not looking at the book. He don't want you to read the book. He said, go to this book. And when you go to the book, he start preaching from the book. And you following him. He's not going to miss nothing. Why? Because he said that when he was a little boy, he came out his mother womb with his gift from God. They say he was talking the scriptures when he was a little baby. Little boy, when he learned to talk, he learned to talk scripture. Some people have this from them. I know a preacher from Trinidad was just like that. He came to our church in Virginia, and he would walk back and forth just preaching the gospel. Never opened the Bible. But because you preach like that, that don't mean you're living like that. It's the truth that I always say. You got to not only preach it or teach it, you got to live it. You got to live it. That is the difference. When we made up our minds and said, Lord, I'll live for you and die for you, it makes all the difference. And then we do it. We activate. That's why we say on Blog Talk Radio, really, don't just hear the word. Like James said, don't just be hearers of word, but be doers of the word. We got to activate the word in our life. Somebody calling me from District of Columbia. I don't want that. Check that off. Yes, we have to be doers of the word. So when we hear the preacher an awesome word, you got to activate the word. Well, yeah, we come and we make accolades where we feel like making accolades, where we feel like encouraging the preacher. But it's more than that. You know what's going to make the preacher feel good? When we say, man, I got, and mean what you're saying. Don't say to make the preacher feel good. I got to put that into action. I heard what God was saying through you, woman of God, man of God. I heard what God was saying. I got to put that into action. Hallelujah. And the moment that we say we're going to put that in action, guess what happened? Temptation come. Distraction come. Satan sent all types of delusion to take us off a path. Now let's go back in the word. I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost. Let me say, he says, now we know that rock was Jesus Christ. We are on that rock. He said, but with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Listen, they weren't satisfied. And they begin to murmur against God. That's why I hear people say, I don't know why we get so much snow. No, I don't complain. I said, God, I thank you because I know God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows all of these viruses is everywhere. They're coming one after one because the wickedness, the evil that's in this earth right now. But God has he has a remnant in the earth that he's going to protect. And most of the time when God is sending the rain, he's washing that stuff out the sky. He sent the snow to take that stuff down and catch it in the snow, and you'll notice that the snow, in a couple of days, the snow is so white when it comes down, and then a couple of days it turns black or gray. So they're taking all that stuff out of the atmosphere, all that stuff out there. God, no, we don't complain. Praise God. Man, I was having a headache yesterday, and I told Pastor Vic, went on there, and Pastor Vic was preaching first. And then she gave me the microphone. I tell you that, I was laying on the bed. Then I never heard Pastor Vic preach like that before. But it was the Holy Ghost that showed up on that line. It was like fire. It was like fire, Pastor. And all of a sudden, that severe headache that I was having at the back of my, she called it some name right there in the back of the left side of my head. Ever so often it would come and it would go. But it just went away. It just went away. Because my mind left thinking about the headache, and I was thinking about the word, how the word was coming forth with fire. And because my mind was focused on that, I tell you, God just moved that headache. I ain't feeling sick. But this is what he does. When you hear the preaching word, you got to receive the word. The word will work on you while you hearing it, while you hearing the word. Because why? Your mind is on the word. Your mind is on the word. Some people in the church building, the preacher preaching with fire. You on the line, the preacher preaching with fire, but your mind is not on the line. It's not here in this electronic church. It's not in the physical church building. Your mind is somewhere at some barbecue picnic, somewhere at the club, somewhere on the park or somewhere at the beach, somewhere in Hawaii, somewhere. Your mind is somewhere, so you don't really receive what the pastor is saying. You don't get it. You gotta put your mind in here with us so we can receive. So we can receive. Sometimes I think I heard Pastor say that before. People are distracted by the TV. And the telephone, the radio, while the preacher is preaching. They're listening to the sounds. Sometimes you hear the sounds playing in the background. You hear the TV talking, still watching the soap opera on the TV while the preacher is preaching. You know? Glory to God. Let's go back in here. This is not too long where we got to go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Said that they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things are examples to the extent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. No. God put these things, had these things penned down in this manuscript for us. Not for them, because they know they faced it. And they're gone, they died. God had these penned down for our examples so we can say, look, I mean, you hear somebody, man. Well, they went over there smoke. Now today, when I was in Virginia, one time they had I never really shoot heroin, but one time I smoked some heroin. I put some in the pipe. A guy gave me, and I tell you, it was the worst feeling I ever had. But then in Virginia, the District of Columbia, they had a heroin that come in from one of them Spanish countries, and this heroin was killing people. It was killing people. But, you know, they would say the heroin was so good. Although it's killing people. And people would go leave Virginia and go to D.C. to buy that heroin, even though they know it was killing people. This is how people that become so ignorant. But Paul said, God doesn't want us to be ignorant of the tricks of the enemy. He said these things are penned down for our example so that we would say, well, I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to be disobedient like the Israelites. I'm going to follow the instruction that God says because I know what the consequences could be if I disobey him. And we know what it is. If we don't obey God, we're going to bust hell wide open. There's no if or buts about it. We're going to bust all hell wide open. He said, if the righteous scarcely enter in. What's said to those that don't believe? We're going to scarcely make it in. Some of us going to make it in by just the skin of our behind. Because we still want to slip and dip. But God said today is the day that we have to let go and let God. Let go of everything that's holding us in bondage. Yeah, I said all the time, God is still working on me. Because I haven't reached to the perfection yet. But I'm striving for perfection. That's what we say. God is perfecting us every day. As long as we get in the Word, as long as we study the Word, as long as we allow the Word to change us. And we say that change people. If we don't change them, don't expect the people around us to change. You know what my honey tell me? I'm just saying, if a day that I say, well, I didn't have a preacher, or I didn't feel right, and I said, well, I'm going to let the line be down this day, and that don't happen too often. She would say to me, you're not turning on the radio? You thinking that she's not paying attention? I think that she's not paying attention. But she said, you're not turning on the radio today? And then if you don't hear, she said, who preaching today? She's paying attention. So people are watching us, how we are living, how we are walking, where we are talking. They're listening to us. Hallelujah. God said, look, he don't want us to have the same kind of lust after evil things as they also lusted. They lusted after idolatry, idol worship. You understand? They wanted a God that they can see. Because remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai talking to God? And he spending time with God, and God showed up in the burning bush. Joshua couldn't go all the way up, but Joshua was waiting for him. Aaron was down bottom with them, keeping them. Aaron and her and all the other boys was keeping the people. But the people had power over Aaron. I don't know what the Holy Ghost was going to say, but they had power over Aaron. Aaron couldn't withstand them. They said, look, we need a God. We don't know about this morning. We don't know where he is. Moses said he going to seek to talk to God, have a conversation with God, to get instructions from God like we give you every day on God's Talk Radio. They said, well, I don't know about her. I don't know about him. They don't hear the instruction. They want somebody to come with a sophisticated tone. And then they get excited like they never heard that before. We seen it every day. But somebody come and got it all twisted up and got it fashioned in a way that would excite them. And they say, well, I never heard it like that before. We're preaching the same word. They're not two words. It's one word, the word of God. Some people twist it around and add a lot of stuff to it. You know, somebody like making gumbo. And somebody will put a different spice in than you put in your gumbo. The gumbo is still gumbo. It just got a different spice in it. And people going to get all excited. Oh, man, never tasted gumbo like that before. Well, all they did was add a different spice, but it's still the same gumbo. Yeah, it's still the same gumbo. I had a preacher. Las Vegas. My pastor had paid for all of us three flights to fly us to Las Vegas, go for the big convention. Hey, man, this hottest preacher from Washington, D.C. I'm going to get back into the message. This is part three. So I think I got part four, part five, but I'll see what the Lord said. And the preacher from Washington, D.C., he's an archbishop. I'm going to call his name. And he's a preacher. Man, I tell you, apostle, this man preached of a storm. And it looked like he had a dictionary on the podium, but he didn't have no dictionary. This man was calling words that I never heard before. You know, we call this highfalutin preaching. All the other highfalutin people said, man, Bishop so-and-so, he really preaches today. Man, I ain't never heard him preach like this before. Listen, half an hour after he finished preach, guess where he was, apostle? He was in the cardia, in the gallery, let's call it gallery, of the, because that word don't want to come off my tongue. And he was with the prostitutes. He was tore up. He was a minister to them. He was tore up from the floor. Because once he went and sit down at the bar and started drinking, man, he couldn't even stand up. So what happened here is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying to us that these things are for our example, to the extent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So when we see these things, go to love. I didn't preach in Las Vegas. I went there. Pastor said, well, I want you to go with us. I'm going to pay for you and pay for all the other ministers so we can go and see how these highfalutin preachers react, how they do. All these who preachers. It's amazing. Well, we put these people on pedestals, and we got a little preacher over here that know how to spend time with God, fast and pray, and seek God on our behalf, and we don't recognize him because we know him. Remember Jesus? Jesus can preach everywhere, and everywhere he goes, healing people, going his own hometown, where they know him, where he raised up and cut wood with his father, because his father was a carpenter. His earthly father, Joseph. So, then the Bible said he could do no mighty works, apostle. You know that. He said, because of their unbelief. Because folk ain't going to believe you are who you, God said you are in your neighborhood. But just go over the water. Go down to the Caribbean. Go to Canada. Not so much Canada, because they got a war going on in Canada too. They're fighting against the Christians. That's a homosexual nation too. You know, they do everything that we do over here. Got transvestites and transgesters and transgender and all that kind of stuff going on over there. All of this stuff, they're satanic. But go down to the Caribbean. Go to them nations where people really, really, truly hungry for the gospel. And I tell you, woman of God, they would receive you and your husband and wrap their arms around you. And my God want to wash your feet and everything. Cook food for you and lay it on the table. You don't have to make a move because they can see the God of you right here in your, in this nation where people know you in your city. They don't want to even, they don't want to come close to you. So, oh, she preached good. They're just like so cavalier about it. Oh, she preached well. She preached well. Just like that. Go over to Africa. Go to India. Go to Brazil. And you get to preach in one of them churches. Go to the Fiji Islands. Man, you'll be amazing how the people will receive you. Because they can hear the spirit of the word. These folk here said they got everything. They got 7 Bibles, 8 Bibles in the house. These people keep a Bible. When they get a Bible, they keep that Bible on in their armpit, close to their heart. They cherish the word of God. We here, we got too much. Just like the food we eat, and we throw the rest of it in the garbage disposal, in the trash can, because we have too much food. They try to eat the crumbs. They go in the trash can looking for it because they're hungry. We got too much. We waste stuff. We got the word at our fingertips and don't want it. Here Paul is talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. He said, neither be you idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and eat and drink and rose up to pray. Neither let us commit fornication. See, the people have so much here. They sit, they eat and drink, and then they pray. They're committing fornication every day. These are the people that support the Sir Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shemoah, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Emmanuel. They're supposed to serve the true and living God. And what they find themselves doing is still want to have a God that they can see. You understand? This is why they made the cross with a man on the cross. Because if they have a man or a figure of a man on the cross, they think they have Jesus with them. He's not on the cross. The cross is empty. It's empty. It's clean. He's not there. I got one. I got 2 or 3 cross here. Gold cross. And they're empty. They're plain. This is a symbol of the cross of Calvary. But I don't have no statue, no idol on it. Because now you've become an idol worshiper. Folk got a big cross to live in the living room with a long-haired, long-bearded man on the cross. Saint Jesus on the cross. He's not on the cross. He said, I don't want you to be like them. They have this lusty thing inside their heart. Idolatry inside them. He said, I don't want you to have this stuff. This is what Paul is saying. And he said, no, let's get back to this. He said, never let us commit fornication. As some of them committed and said in the, one day, 23,000 fell in one day. Imagine that. Can you imagine that we provoke God so badly in this nation that God take out 100,000, 200,000. We just lost 800,000 people in this, over 800,000 people to the coronavirus. You have pastors and pastors and pastors that died. Bishops and apostles. Do you hear what I'm telling you? People are still committing sin. Playing with God. And Paul said, don't be like them. They're left in the wilderness. And how many of them died in the wilderness because of sin? He said, well, I don't know nothing about this Moses. Who is this Moses? He gone for such a long time. The God, he gone for a long time. Well, you don't see the preacher go on a sabbatical for 14 days. And the elder is preaching. Now, you don't want to hear the elder because your mind is on the pastor. Your pastor, you got your pastor, your bishop, your deacon, you got them on a pedestal. So when they leave, sometimes it's the deacon running the church. Sometimes it's the elder. Because the pastor's on a sabbatical. And you don't want to hear the evangelist maybe running the church. You say, I don't want. I miss pastor. You don't go to church. Pastor said he off for a couple of days. He don't come out. Pastor's not feeling well for a couple of days. He's under the weather. And now the assistant pastor or someone or some elder or evangelist or teacher, prophet, is running the church for a couple of Sundays. They said, no, the church is empty. That's a few people show up. I want to hear, to get word that the pastor's back. Everybody that was coming before, they're back in the church. Oh, you're not coming for God. You're coming for the pastor. That's why as soon as the pastor comes through the door, everybody stand on their feet. Everybody stand on the feet for the pastor. Well, it's good to respect the man of God or woman of God. But what about Jesus? We ought to be on our feet worshiping Jesus all the time. Wait till the pastor come in. We sitting down, waiting, sitting down. And wait till Pastor Bishop comes out here. When he's oh, the bishop's in the house. The bishop's here. Stand on your feet. Everybody on the feet. What about Jesus? Nobody on the feet for Jesus. Idolistic worshipers. Never let us tempt God. Tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. We're tempting God in our hearts. We are complaining about it's too hot. It's too cold. It's raining. It's been raining for 7 days. When is the rain going to stop? There's countries right now, as I speak right now, that need rain. The land is parched. There's nothing grown. There's a famine in the land because there's no rain to cause the earth to grow. But we get rain, when we do get rain, and sometimes it rains for 2 or 3 days in your city, my city, people complain. It snows for a day. Now we had some snow last night. They said we having some snow again this weekend. We just had 31 inches of snow. And we had a little bit more last night. People complain. I said, man, I'm not worried about that. I'm praising God because I know the snow. God used the snow to take some of them things from all that stuff that's in the atmosphere that mankind is creating, that's in the atmosphere that we breathe in there along that make us sick. God moving out the atmosphere with the rain, and he also moved out with the snow. Well, we complain. We don't say, God, I thank you for the snow. Also, when the snow, man, it goes down and it moisture the earth, put some moisture in the earth so the trees can stay alive. Because the water, they're still drinking even though they don't have no leaves. That's why as soon as the weather breaks, they can put up leaves and put up buds and stuff. Because they got substance down in the ground. We don't praise God for that stuff. Complain. Neither murmur ye. As some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. See? They murmur and complain. I don't understand what they're preaching about. I don't know what they're talking about. Well, why don't you open your Bible and follow the preacher? I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, at verse 10. We come with a critical mindset. We come to dissect and critique the preacher instead of looking and see what God is saying to us through the word of God. We come with that mindset, like these people here that Paul is talking about, murmuring and complaining about everything. We want something that we can see. And if I'm not in agreement with them, I just don't want to hear them. But it's God's word you're coming against, not the preacher. God's word. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for all admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. These are instructions that are being penned down for our understanding. So we can look at these things and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to worship no idols. I'm not going to lust after this and lust after that. And I realize that if I commit fornication, adultery, and these kind of things that the preacher talking about here way back then, that I stand a good chance of going to hell. This is what it's for. But our very flesh always tell us, entice us. And the Bible says, when a man is drawn away, he's drawn away by his own lust and entice. We allow our flesh to draw us away. For a few seconds, we'll give up eternity. We'll give up life and eternity for a few seconds. Feel good for a few seconds, because that's all it is. We'll commit sin against God and against your soul. Because that's what we do. We are sinning against God and against our soul. I'm talking about the revelation, the redemption of the saints. God wants to redeem us, but he wants to redeem us in purity. That we're going to be pure. We are pure before the Lord. Holy before the Lord. We're not going to be redeemed from this earth if we keep going back and forth. I said yesterday, playing Russian roulette with our soul. Like the Israelites back in the book of Ezekiel. Thinking that God can't see and he can't hear. So we can do what we want to do because God is not looking. God is looking somewhere in another direction. Oh, his ears are closed off to us while we are talking that filthy stuff. Watching those filthy movies. God's eyes are blinded to us. Listen what he says. Oh, God. Oh, ha, ha. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh be standing, take heed, lest he fall. Pay attention. We got all that. Yes, we preach the word, we teach the word. We sleep the lives, and we even live the word. But we not all that. Because see, I always say, Satan is watching and waiting. He is watching and waiting to catch us in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time to get us, to deceive us and get us into his little web like a spider. You ever see a fly? Spider is very patient. Sometimes you need to have the patience of a spider. We can't wait on God. We want God to do it. We want God to do it right now. But that spider would just stay there. I used to watch him when I was back in the country because we had a lot of them on the trees. I don't go in the bush because I don't like snakes now. I don't never like snakes, so I don't go. We didn't have a lot of snakes out here. We got a lot of snakes now. But people bring the snakes from different countries and the monkeys and all stuff. They say they got so much monkeys in Barbados. Never had that much monkeys. They go on the rooftops and make a lot of noise at night, running all over the people's rooftops. But I used to watch the spider, and the spider was very patient, and he watched that fly, and that fly just kept on moving around, flying back and forth. As soon as he get real close, the spider would whip him. And he'd snatch him, and he'd wind up in the web. The fly is still alive, but he's in the spider's web. And once he get in that web, don't care how much he try to move. He can't, his wings is not going to move because spider wrap his wings up first. Lock up his wings so his flight can't fly. This is what the devil does with us. Once he gets us in that mess, in the mess that we shouldn't be into, we wrapped up. We tangle up. Look at the lady we were talking about yesterday. I don't know if you saw Apostle. Man, that girl was so beautiful. She went Miss USA. She won Miss USA in 2019. And something went wrong. They can't tell you what went wrong. But see, we there's so much, this spirit of so sudden spirit is in the earth. And nobody talking about it because everybody's busy trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. But so many young people are committing suicide. And a lot of people are committing, young people committing because of the lockdowns. And they can't fellowship with their friends, they socialize with their friends. And they're committing suicide. That girl jumped off the 28th floor. I saw on YouTube last night. I said, my God, she beautiful, nice hair. I mean, beautiful. She looked like she was biracial. But just to see this spirit that's in the earth. And God is saying for us to really reach out and help people. Reach out and let them see his love in us and through us. Now, he says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, but that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is able. He allowed the temptation to come. God permit the temptation. He allowed. He don't put the temptation, but he allowed the temptation, or permit it to come on us, for us to be tempted. But he also, at the same time, God makes the way. He gives us the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you that since I've been here, Lord knows I lie not. I had so many women come on to me, want to get me in bed, old man like me. And they think, oh, you look so good. I don't need you to tell me I look good, because I see some people at my same age, and my God, they look like they're twice the age they're supposed to be. This year, I'll be 73 years old, and I don't feel it at all. They have it so once in a while, I get a pain in my knee or my ankle or my head or something, but I don't pay them no mind. I just pray and let God take care of it. And God is keeping me well. But God gives us a way. You have to make a choice then. After the temptation, come on, you know you're the one. You're the one who have control. You got the key in your hand. You can turn the lock, or you can put the key and open the lock and go into that temptation. The key's in your hand. You have the key. Hallelujah. We don't see that we have the key. We don't see it that way. Because but she been talking to me, he been talking to me, and man, I ain't been there for such a time, and so on. She's so fine, he looks so good, look at his muscles, six pack, he got good abdominal muscles and biceps and triceps and all this stuff. He looks so good, look at his hair, he got nice hair. Oh yeah, he got a boy. Oh, all this stuff that go on, Satan talking, roping you in with that web, that spider web, that satanic web to wrap you in. Now your chest, your heart is beating with lust. You want to be with her. You want to be with her, with him. No, God shall give you a way. That's it. Look in the world, you'll see. So you got to think. You got to think about eternity. Eternity. That's your way. That's it. Eternity. God first said, no, son, no, daughter. If you go down there, this could be your last trip. Hey, Pastor Jim said yesterday, you're not sure. I'm not sure when I go in that house. You remember I told you when I was back in the Caribbean, I was in this house with this married woman. Her husband was a bartender. He wasn't supposed to come back home. He's working at a hotel. But for some reason, he forgot something, and he came home. He came home, and I had to go up the window. I got a scar on my back, what they call it, a kilo over here, called on my back, grown flesh, on my back, just to prove. That's my mark. God lead me with. I come up the window and I got stripped on the back with a nail. Blood was coming down my back, tore up my shirt and everything. I was coming up with half of my clothes in my hand. I was wrapped up in the spider web. And I was willing to put my life on the line to suffice to my flesh. God is speaking to us. Can we hear? Because God wants us to stay away from sin. He wants us to separate ourselves from sin. We have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed from the pit of hell. Why are we still want to slip and dip? We want to go back and forth and play with me all this and all that. Because somebody come and give you some accolades that you don't really need. You fine. You this man. You should know you fine already. Look in the mirror. I go in the mirror 2 times, 3 times a day. And I begin to thank God. I thank God in the mirror for keeping me. I thank you for keeping me. Because I see some fellas with twisted face and twisted arms and twisted legs. And God, I thank God for keeping me. I don't need nobody coming to say, oh, you so this, you, oh, Pastor, you this, oh, David, you this. No, no, no. God already told me what I am. I told you yesterday. Oh, people don't have to give me no accolades. I woke up this morning. God woke me up this morning. And I began praising him on my bed. Thanking him and repenting right on my bed for my thoughts. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. See, this is what he said to us. Take 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 17. He said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. He said, I will receive you unto myself. He said, I be your God, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. I'm just perfect because I'm not looking at it. But he said, come out. We got to be separated. We have to get a new mindset. We want to serve God with the old mindset. No, God says you have to get a new mindset. Your mindset must be to serve God, to live for God, to die for God. Reach out and touch somebody that don't know God. Tell them about his love. Share your testimony to somebody. We get so holy now, we don't want nobody to know that we used to be soaking sin, not even washed in sin. Soaked in sin. We were like sponge soaking up all that sin. Doing everything that you can do with your big and bad self. And don't want to tell nobody because we're so holy. I don't know why you got to tell somebody about you. The Bible said you're overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And you no longer love your life unto death. That's what Revelation verse 11 says. They don't want to share testimony. People are so caught up in sin, and they don't want to come because they say you look so holy and so pious, and they're afraid that you don't reach out to them because of their lifestyle. Because they may have an undercover lifestyle. They may not have the markings on the outside that you can see, that we can see. And they don't want to come close to us because we act like we're so holy. We're so holy. And we got some dark spots on us. We're like a leopard. We got dark spots on us and everybody can see them. And we act like we all dead. And people say, well, I know. You know, the Holy Spirit is so awesome that when you get up there that you're so holy that you can't help nobody, he'll set up a way that you'll get exposed. You'll be exposed and your sin will really come to light because you haven't been repenting. You think you're fooling God. No! Look at all them preachers, you know, them bishops that died and gone on this world. They were acting like they had it together. $1 million preachers. They're acting like they're so holy. And if they were just saying, you know, I got a vice that is killing me. I got a vice that I can't seem to overcome. I need the congregation. I need the praise team. I need the intercessors to intercede for me so I can break this chain. I can break this, oh my God, this noose from off my neck. But they get up on that podium and act so holy and so pious. I got a lying tongue. I got a gossiping tongue. I need somebody to pray for me. I like to fight. I like to cuss people out. I like to give people a piece of my mind. Have you ever get like that and be so full, so thirsty that you will become so powerful in the kingdom of heaven because now the devil won't have anything to use against you. You only use what he knows. He can't use what he don't know. But when we expose it, the devil, somebody says, well, you run around all the time. You ain't got no money in your pocket. You ain't got no money in your bank account, no food in your fridge. And you're walking around like you got all of this stuff in your face. People can help you, but you wouldn't even tell it, put it on the ready. I'm in need. I need my brothers and sisters. Somebody will help. Somebody will help. I've helped many people, and I've got many help from people. Hallelujah. God, people are too prideful. Listen to what he says. This is so powerful. The word of God is, my God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, talking to his brothers and sisters, flee from idolatry and speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say. Pay attention to what Paul is saying. Pay attention to what God is saying to this man of God. God is speaking to us. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Look at what he's saying. We eating and drinking the blood of Jesus Christ and still living like we are sinners. Paul is saying to us through this word that we have to take record of what we are doing. Pay attention. We're not doing this just for sure. We are doing it because he died for us. He gave his life for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. That abundantly means above any kind of personal life that you can look at. Don't care what they have. Your life is greater. He didn't say abundant. He said abundantly. That means more than enough. It don't mean that your bank account is overflowing. It don't mean that you got a whole bunch of cars and a whole bunch of house, but you have so much peace and so much joy on the inside. You have joy unspeakable on the inside. Hallelujah. Full of glory. Hallelujah. This is what Paul is talking about. Sometimes we watch tons of stuff. These people died in the wilderness over 30-something thousand people. Died in the wilderness. Why did they die? They died because they wanted a God that they can see like we do. Like we do. We can't be comfortable with the peace and the joy that God says, I come and ask the God of the North. I said, Lord God, I thank you because you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not what I want, because I want a lot of stuff. All of us want a lot of stuff. Be true to yourself. All of us want a lot of stuff. But God gives us what we need. That's what we're praising him for. Apostle Linda Wilson made a vow last year. Last year she made a vow. Apostle Stewart made a vow to help the people in Africa and India. We were able to set out a couple orders out to Africa and India. They bought some bicycles for the kids for Christmas, food, clothes, send the kids to school. And now we got Apostle put the funds in there. Now a whole group of kids in Ghana gonna be able to go to school. And these kids that we're taking care of right now in Ghana, has win scholarship for to go to medical school. Do you hear what I'm saying? Four kids, but they got the wisdom. We are going to be paying for their books and their clothes. Blog Talk Family, Apostle Stewart, Apostle Watson, make sure that she did that this yesterday. This is what God's calling for. Who knows if my grandkids or her grandkids or Apostle grandkids or your grandkids or great-grandkids, maybe someday be in Africa and these same very doctors may have to work on them because something happened while they were there. And they might recognize the names and say, oh, yes, I remember. My father told me about these people that were sending funds to help him because he couldn't afford to get me the books and the clothes and stuff that I need and the fees I need. People got to think about this stuff, man. Don't think about ourselves. I thank Apostle and Bishop and Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joy Stewart for helping taking care of the children of God. Thank my wife, Nancy, for me, for helping us. And she worked 2 days, Monday and Thursday, just a couple hours. Not even a whole day, just a couple hours a day. And we get Social Security. But we happen. We're doing what God said. Because we ain't trying to save a whole bunch of stuff to leave here for people to blow up. We're trying to use the work for the kingdom. He said, for we being many, I want bread. Listen how he lines us up with the body of Christ. We are many members of the body. He says, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all, not some. Hear this, people. This is highlighted in my Bible. God had me highlight this here years ago because it was so prevalent to me, to what I'm doing right now. See, we get a divided mindset, like it's about me or I. Too much I and not we. It's us. It shall be us and we, not I, never I. Even when the funds come from my wife and I always say we. I always say Blog Talk Family. I don't care if you all give that time or didn't give that time. Because it's sometimes you give that I'm not able to give. But I still say we. Because it's we doing it for the kingdom. God is blessing us so we can be the help that he needs in this earth realm. God is not coming down here going from house to house. No, he's touching hearts to cause us to go from house to house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, for we are all partakers of that one body, the body of Christ, the body of believers. We are all partakers. He said, behold, Israel after the flesh are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Ask the question. Hallelujah. Sometimes we take that sacrifice, that holy commune, we take it for granted. We take it as a routine because, oh, yes, this is the first Sunday or the first Sunday. Depends on what church you go to. You say, well, this is first Sunday, so we got to have holy communion. We just take it as a game, as a play, a routine. We don't know how serious it is. It represents the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And if you don't see right, that's why we always say, Search yourself before and ask God for forgiveness. Repent before you partake of the body and blood of Christ. Very important. This is very powerful. Let us help one another accomplish what God wants. He says, what saith I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He asked a question. See, folk begin not serving Yahweh, but begin to worship and bow down before idols. We have it happening today in our country. One preacher sent me a message day before yesterday. He said that this year that they're planning to set up worship idols for the one world order. I heard that a while back that they was going to make this place in New York City. You know, where they're going to have the statues and all these satanic statues. Where they're going to have the one world order office. You know, but these things will come to pass because the Bible said these things got to happen. All these things got to happen. People will turn away from righteousness, from holiness, and walk after other gods. But we have to stay focused. Don't get mad. Just keep preaching the truth. We got to keep preaching the truth. Keep pounding away at the truth. I think I heard somebody preach that yesterday. You got to keep pounding away. Keep pounding away at the truth. Somebody going to get it. Everybody ain't going to get it. But somebody will get it. God knows who wants the truth. Who hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Listen to it. He said, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Here Paul is asking us, this is the unsaved Gentiles, the ones that are not grafted in, the ones who don't have a love for Jesus. Paul said, I would not have you fellowship with them. He called them devils. It's hard for you to call people devils. Hard for us to do. But Paul called them devils. Why? Because they were worshiping devilish entities, statues, and giving sacrifice to them. We have to take a serious look. Examine the house and see how the house is. Hallelujah. We have to pay more attention to the soul that's in the house than to the account. We're looking at the account. We're checking the bank. I'm talking about the bank account. We're checking the bank account. How much money coming? Can we afford the bills? Can we take care of the bills? But we're not watching the souls. We got to take an account. Check. Keep an eye on the souls. See if anybody's drifting away slowly. Because people don't just drift into darkness, slip into darkness sudden. It's a slow slip. You got to pay attention. That's why you see when people are, all these people coming in suicide, that stuff just didn't come on them one time. It was happening little by degree. But nobody was paying attention. Nobody's paying attention to them and see that they're oppressing, downpressing, and all this stuff that they're suppressing. People don't pay attention. They ain't looking at their children. They're looking at the kids and grandkids and the husband and the wives. They're not looking at it. The woman said last night on YouTube, she said she was so oppressed. And so people that she would talk that would help her in the church wouldn't help her because they didn't know. They wouldn't pay attention. And she said she left the church and went home and took a handful of pills. She wanted to commit suicide. And she said God woke her up. And now she is going around. And she said the same spirit came upon her husband. After she got married to this man. The same spirit come upon him, spirit of suicide. And she was writing a psalm. And God stopped and said, go check on your husband. He was getting ready to put a handful of pills. Because they had a crawl of noise. I go down my page in the kitchen. And he couldn't relate. And when she went in the bedroom to write, God stopped her. And she went back outside. And the husband is getting ready to commit suicide. See, God, pay attention to everything that's wrong us. the spirits around us infiltrating people. People don't know who to talk to. He says, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the devils and of the tables of the devils. We had people in the same house that I was in. And they would come and drink, have Holy Communion and go and drink Heineken's, smoke marijuana, use oxycodone, getting blasted on oxycodone. And the pastor didn't see anything. And then when you say something, well, you know, Pastor, Sister so-and-so, look like she needs some help. She's doing this, she's doing that. Pastor, don't care. They say not to him. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go there. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I tell you, God is touching us and bringing us into that realm. He's bringing us into that realm of, I mean, complete holiness. Paul began to talk about the second coming of the Lord. And this is what the message is really about. This topic that the Lord has given us. That Yahweh is speaking. Can you hear? Because God, he wants us to stay ready, not get ready. He wants us to stay ready. It's not going to be time to get ready. We got to stay ready. You see, we are deploying our soldiers now to Ukraine. And they told the soldiers that they got to stay ready. That's one of the things that they say to the soldiers, you got to stay ready. Because we don't know what day we're going to have to go into the battlefield, go on the battlefield. So they're on a readiness. They got everything clean and ready, loaded, packed, and ready. They're there. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, Paul says, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, Paul says, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The one who brings destruction, now he's talking about the devil, Satan, to be revealed. Now he said to us that many things are going to happen, but it's not yet the day of the Lord. It's not yet the day of the Lord. This antichrist, this man of lawlessness that's going to totally deceive the nation is not yet. But the spirit is already in the earth. I want you to know that. That antichrist spirit is in the earth. That's why you see people are going in a different direction. They're going in a different direction. People are leaving churches and having excuses not to go back to church. And this is why you see this pandemic is here. That's part of the delusion. The pandemics, they're coming. They don't bring fear. That's the first thing that the enemy does is bring fear. Because fear don't come from the Lord. We know that because he said that. He will exalt himself, the man of lawlessness. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. The God of man down in Florida called himself Jesus. People have been selling their houses and the cars and everything and giving to him. He's a billionaire. He claimed he is Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. This is going to happen. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica. He said to them, don't you remember? See, we got this. This is time we have to take notes. Go back and when you are scanning the Bible, I call it surfing. When you are surfing the Bible and go from chapter to chapter or book to book, take some notes. Oh, you reminiscing all that you have read, but take some notes because what? You want to get these very notes in your heart because when these things begin to happen, you can say, yeah, I remember reading this. I remember studying this over there in Thessalonians. I remember seeing this in First and Second Corinthians. I remember seeing this in James and Timothy. You know, this thing's going to come back to you. This is why God is saying this to us so that when these things begin to happen, God already had it penned down for our understanding. He says, and you know that what is holding him back, for it can be revealed only when his time comes. See, there's a specific time that God has already have ordained for this man of lawlessness, the man of, that will bring destruction upon the earth in abundance to be delivered, to be revealed, to be made known. Hallelujah. That's why we have to prepare the people. We got to stop this motivational teaching and preaching and this prosperity teaching and teach the truth of God's word so that people's hearts, minds, body, and souls will be ready and prepared for when these times come. We can't stop the times because they're already in motion. We can't stop them. God said it's going to happen. He said, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. In that way, saying God is blocking all this stuff. He's keeping this stuff back. Hallelujah. He has given us time. You and I, preacher, prophet, prophetess, evangelist, pastor, teacher, apostle, bishop. He's given us time to declare the gospel truth, to speak it in the ears of the people. Many people will reject it because he told us that. Early in the text, he told us that many will reject it. But we still have to preach it. They said, well, no point of me preaching about holiness because nobody wants to live holy. Nobody wants to receive that. People want to have a good time. They want to enjoy their life. No, God, so you still got to preach it. Because God has people in the earth that's going to receive the word. They're already here. They're hungry and thirsty for the truth. Man, if you ever go just past Africa and India, in China, man, people, when you take a Bible and you give them a Bible, sometimes you can't, like that traveler can only take like two or three Bibles. But there's people that ship, organization that ship, and they ship hundreds of Bibles, if not thousands. And then they have to have places, they call it underground deliveries, distribution centers. And when the people come and they walk for miles and miles and miles to get a Bible. And some people, when they get that Bible, they fall to the earth, kissing the Bible while they're laying out prostrate on the earth. Because they're so hungry to get that Bible, because in that area, that city, that continent, that nation, they can't go to the store, the Christian bookstore, and buy a Bible. It's prohibited. They could even be locked up or be stoned to death or machete, lose their hands or something because they had a Bible. But God says we have to preach this word in season and out of season. Because we're really ready and willing to give a answer to the hope that's in us. He says, listen, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. See, the glory of God is so awesome. That's so much. Look, the enemy just going to be destroyed just by the presence of God, the very presence of him. He's going to light up the whole earth. The whole earth going to be lit up from north to south, from east to west, because of his presence, the splendor of who he is. Hallelujah. Just to know that you'll be in that splendor, in that glory, because of your lifestyle, because of what he's done at Calvary. And you decide to live, we decide to live for him and die for him. Hallelujah. We'll be caught up in that splendor, in that glory. He says, this man will come to do the work of Satan. With counterfeit power and signs and miracles. Talking about the man of lawlessness. The Antichrist. He will use any kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction. Because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived. God will allow it. And they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Do you hear me? People of God, God has given us his truth. This Bible says that the believers must stand firm. Don't compromise the word of God. It doesn't matter what is being given to us. Don't compromise the word of God. Paul said, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you. The disciples, they prayed for us. They prayed for us even while they were on the earth. They were praying for us before we even came into the world. Their brothers and sisters, he's talking to the Thessalonians, but it's not just for Thessalonians. It's for us. He's praying for the Thessalonian church, but he's also praying for us. This is for us. He said, their brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. See, the truth always says the truth alone does not set you free. See, the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. The truth, you have to get to know the truth in your heart. What the truth does to set us free, the truth becomes a sickle, a two-edged sword, a convictor of the soul. So that when the flesh wants to do something, the truth shows up and says, no, not so. Not today. You can't do that. I had some thoughts that was coming at me and some people. And I shared with the apostle, the Lord told me, he said, no, son, you can't even allow that. You can't even have that thought. You can't allow these things to come on in your head. You got to cast them out. You got to cut yourself loose. Well, we didn't have no deep conversation going away, but I had to cut the people off. Because, as I said, God has made serpent as an outlook, I can't find the word I want to use, but as a snake, because that's the way he comes into us. He slither into our thoughts to take us off target, to take us out of focus. And when he gets us out of focus, then he begins to show us all the things that entices us, that make us feel good. Like, I love fried chicken. I ain't going to tell you I don't like fried chicken. I've been a liar. But I shouldn't eat it too regular. Why? Because every time I eat it, if I have it 2 or 3 days in a row, I'll be in trouble. What are you talking about, Pastor? My cholesterol will go up. My blood pressure will shut up. You understand? So I have to be very conscious of that. It's the same way we have to be with sin. You know that if we start getting involved with sin, what happens is that we will find ourselves, we want to study less. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fast because sin would make you believe that once you get connected with it, it's in a, and it's the truth. That's one thing that sin is truthful about. Once you get connected with sin, you don't want to connect with the truth. You don't want to go to church. Because sin is going to tell you they already know what you're doing. And you're going to find yourself, we will find ourselves slipping away. Slipping away. Because like I said, it's not a sudden dash. It's a slow slide. We slide away from the presence of God. God never leaves us. We always leave God. We slide away. Paul says here, he called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we pass on to you, both in person and by letter. Paul says, look, we share the word. He says, we share the word with you in person. And not only that, but we send you letters of the word so you can study and keep in focus, steadfast. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word. I got a part two and part three on this. I have so many scriptures to see because I like to work all the scripture by the Holy Spirit. That's how I grow. Father, I thank you for this word that you have given us today. And I pray, God, that I have said something by the Spirit that has enlightened someone as you have enlightened me with this word last night on my bed. I pray, Father God, for that one that's out there now that is so hungry and so thirsty, that when they hear this word, Lord, Father God, that it would just excite them to get closer to the truth and stand firm regardless of what they're facing right now, knowing that, God, that you are the only helper that they need. When all is said and done, you are our deliverer. And we thank you, Father. We ask you to bless the airways as this word is going forth. And let it do what it's sent out to do today, Lord. Let many people get saved. Let those that are sick in their bodies be healed. Oh, Father, I ask you to create such a hunger on this message that gone forth today. The Lord, people will begin to weep when they hear this message, not because of my voice, but because you're speaking through me, God. They begin to weep, knowing that, yes, truly, there is a better way than the way they've been living, God. And, Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the Master's name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Come on in, Bishop, and let the Lord use you. Come on in. Bishop. Bishop, come on in. I see his phone number on there. Hallelujah. Well, let us position ourselves for, the Bible says, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day. It's a very good day to receive him. Every day is a good day. We all say it's a good day, but every day is a good day to receive Jesus. If you are alive, it's a good day for you to turn your life to him and give him the opportunity to enter into your heart. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also said that God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You'll find that over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Bible also says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is in Romans chapter 3 and 23. Glory to God. We're just thanking God and praising God. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. As Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ah, yes, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, in Acts 2 and 38, Peter says to them, repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Word of God says. The Bible also says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. This is the word of God. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 12, says, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'll tell you something. When you begin to live this word that we are teaching and preaching every day on Blog Talk Radio, people begin to see that you had an encounter just like Paul had on his way to Damascus with Jesus Christ. I tell you no lie. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, but he said he is the way. A lot of people are saying there's many ways to Christ, to the Father, but I come to tell today there's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. It's very important. Let us go into the Word. I am going to study this Word till I get this particular scripture in my spirit. And Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. He said, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, this is power. This is power there right there that God is talking about. Jesus speak that with such authority. He said they should lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. See, that's power. See, that's when you walk in holy. This is when you live in the Word of God. This power falls flow through you. We have to make this decision to live holy. Not just talk holy. Anybody can talk holy. If my dog can talk, he'll talk holy. Remember when the donkey talked, donkey was talking holy. We got to live this thing out. Let people see the light of God shining through us, and they start to glorify the Father in heaven. Let us stop living a double standard. We want to be holy when we're in the church, when we're with the church people, and we know how to preach that stuff. We know how to put on, I'm blessing, highly favored. We know how to say the cliches that people think that we, you know, but it's more than just saying the cliches. Just let's live this thing out. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that today is a good day. If you look at the news, they're saying so many people are being murdered. Look at the news. It'll blow your mind. I was looking at YouTube last night, and I was looking and I said, my God, you know, sometimes you're just in your own little cocoon, your own little space, and you don't realize the evil that's in the earth, what's going on in the earth. And I saw these two young women, I'm not calling young women, you know, young teenagers, and they say that they they did everything. I can't even find the word. I know the word too, but it's not good. They were born the same time. You know the word I'm looking for. I can't, you know how you know stuff, but you get blank. Well, I'm blank out right now. But they were same. They were same. Twins, that's the word. They were twins. And they killed their mother and chopped their mother up. Mother was taking a bath. And they went in the bathroom and killed their mother in the bathtub and chopped up their mother. I was thinking about this stuff, and I know that this is not part of a sermon, but God just brought it back to me. And he was showing me that the evil that's in the earth, and even if you save it, could happen to you, but it's better it happened to you saving it on sin, because if somebody do it to us, we know we're going to the Father. And these two little girls was arguing with the police, and were saying that they got home and find their mother chopped up, dismembered, blood everywhere. The house was something. The man said he had never smelled anything like that. I didn't even know that blood had the copper smell. Tell the detective, say when he hit the door, he could smell the smell of copper. He knew there was blood. He didn't see no blood, but he knew that somebody was dead in there. They killed their mother. Well, they were condemned to life because the detective was believing them and treating them like there was really somebody, was an invasion. But after the investigation and all that stuff takes some time, it led back to the twins. People are vindictive in this earth. And people, the only thing that's going to save us from this vindictiveness that's in the earth is falling deeply in love with Christ, because he loved us anyway. You know, the Bible said while we were yet sinners, Christ, God commended his love towards us. He commended his love. He gave his love toward us because he sent his son. While we were yet in sin, while I was in the crack house, while I was in the whorehouse, while I was lying, cheating, stealing, or doing all types of stuff that was contributing to God's word, God's command, God still sent his son to die on a cross called Calvary for my sins. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believe in him should not be ashamed. That's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. This is what the Bible says. You just have to confess with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Hallelujah. Let me get to the scripture so I can read a little bit more what he has here. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew, the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. He's rich. He's willing to give himself. Whosoever shall call upon his, from the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is the word of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your hour. The next hour, the next minute, next second, we might not be here. It's not promised to anyone. But now that you're in this time, you can confess your sin to God, not to me, because I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. I'm just doing this because the bishop, I couldn't hear the bishop, or the bishop couldn't hear me. But I'm doing this because we like to get the prayer of salvation go through every day. The word is good, but somebody might decide to repeat the prayer of salvation and say, dedicate their life to God. You know, because it's more than just saying the prayer of salvation. I would say it every time. It's more than just saying a prayer, saying the words of the book of Romans, you know, confess. It's more than that. After you confess, now you got to live. You got to live the word. Because so many people say, well, I've been going to church for umpteen years, but they're not living the word. They're still carrying malice in their heart. You know, still have jealousy in their heart. They still have unforgiveness in their heart. See, all these things we got to get rid of. See, we talked about the other, he said that they had idolatry in their heart. Now, they were God's people. They were God's people. They were supposedly worshiping Jehovah God, but they still had idolatry in their hearts to worship other idols, entities. See what I'm saying? So we have to live this thing. It doesn't matter what we're saying with our mouth. No, this thing has to be lived out. Lived out. That God can see and hear. Because he's looking at our hearts. He's reading our hearts. Our heart is like a manuscript before him. That's what he's looking at. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this moment and say, Lord Jesus, yes with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard the word today. And I'm convicted in my heart that the life I've been living did not bring glory, is not bringing glory to you. So today, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. According to 1 John 1:9, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Father, I repent right now for living my life in darkness when I could be in the light of God. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I come to you just as I am, Lord Jesus, a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe according to your word in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, 11 on, that you were crucified at Calvary, a hill called the Skull or Golgotha, and that you were crucified for my sins. If I was the only one on the earth, you would have leave your home in glory and come into time just to give me an opportunity to be saved. Today, I am accepting that opportunity now, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Come into my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord from this day. Lead me and guide me. Show me all that I need to do to walk holy in righteousness before you. And I will follow the instructions in Jesus' name. What if you say that on common prayer that I believe the Spirit has just given to me? You have just received the gift of salvation. And now you got to begin to study the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Lord and Savior that we teach and preach about. You'll understand why the disciples were so adamant about him, how they declared they sold everything they had and give to who had need of, from the least to the greatest. All the other things didn't matter anymore. All matters to them was living a life that glorified the Lord. Now we recommend that you call up a pastor, preacher, someone that know how to baptize it, and tell them you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. They might tell you that, hey, we don't baptize in Jesus' name. We baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You don't get mad. Just tell them, well, that's okay. You got to get your friends and family together, and you will get back in touch with them. The reason why you don't want to get bad with them is because you don't never know. God might use you to be part of that church. He might use you to be part of that church to be, you know, maybe a minister, come up a ministry. You may even become the pastor of that church someday. So you don't want to muddy the water. We talked about that the other day. You don't want to muddy the water. You just want to get up with clean feet and find a pastor that would baptize you in the name of Jesus. And before you get baptized, you invite your family, your friends, your co-workers, even your enemies. And a lot of people ask me, why do you say that enemies? Because you want everyone. You don't want to exclude nobody. Everybody to know that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. It's very important. And then once you get baptized, go down that water, we like to call it the liquid grave. You're dying with Christ and to Christ and coming back up the water with Christ to live for Christ. Find your church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get involved. When I first come back to the Lord, that he drew me back to him. I was cleaning the bathroom. I was fixing everything because, you know, my field, is plumbing, heating, and air condition. So if the AC broke, I fixed it. If the heat broke, I fixed it. If the plumbing broke, the toilet broke, sink was leaking, I fixed everything. If the drain was clogged up, I snaked it out. I did all that. I always carry tools. Even my truck sitting out there has tools in it. I have a bag of tools and electronic analyzers, all that stuff I got in there. If somebody called me, I don't have to do. I just jump and get in the truck and go. You know, I'm always ready. So I always carry stuff. Even if I go now to a church and, you know, I go to a church building and something happens and the heat goes out or the AC goes, depending on what time of the year we are. And the pastor said, well, we got to get a plumbing company outside. So I was put up. I said, Pastor, well, don't worry, but I got my tools with me. I'll fix the problem for you. And I don't charge them nothing. If they want to give me a love offering, so be it. But you always got to be ready to work for the Lord. That's me. And get yourself involved in our ministry. Some people just want to get saved to go preach. But no. Well, there's a lot of things. Picking up, I used to pick up the papers in the parking lot, the beer cans, the cigarette butts, the cigarette boxes, all that stuff I picked up. Because I was considering that the parking lot was God's parking lot. You know, and I didn't want God's parking lot to be dirty. You know, I mowed the lawn and stuff. I mowed the pastor lawn, all this stuff I did because I was working for the Lord, not for the pastor. And look at what God did. Now God has me ministering and going over the world and preaching the gospel because if you be faithful with a little, he'll make you ruler over much. If you give a little, God will give you more. You know, it's hard for people to give today because they always have an excuse. I got to pay for my car. A car, I know they got to pay the electric bill, the water bill, the gas bill, all that stuff. And then when those things start breaking down, they call on God. I had a lady one time said, well, I couldn't do that because I had to do this, I had to do that. Then the next thing she was telling me, you know what? The free refrigerator was broken. I had to get a new refrigerator because they couldn't put a compressor on it. And the next time I hear said, well, you know, my car brakes was out. All the stuff started going. Because see that... I hear them talk about having holes in your pocket. That's holes in your pocket. When you're trying to hold on to it and don't want to help the kingdom, God put holes in your pocket. The same money you're trying to save, you have to end up spending, and then you end up with nothing in your pocket. But I thank God that we have a group of people here that serve in the Lord that don't mind working for the kingdom. And that's working, not just preaching, not just teaching. We give out of our need, like the woman. The woman that gave her last mites, you know, she lost her husband, lost her family, and she was a widow woman. So that means she had a husband. She lost her husband and a children, and she only had a couple of mites. But Jesus saw, because Jesus sees everything. He don't have to be standing over you. He don't have to be looking at your pocketbook and see when you what's in your check. He don't have to look. He know what's in your checkbook already. But he said to the disciple, to Peter, he said, see that woman over there? Because he could hear him. Jesus said, she gives more than all of those who give out of their abundance. You know, because when people have a lot, they give out their abundance. She had nothing. I always like to say she couldn't go down to McDonald's and say, give me, you know, sometimes McDonald's got two for two. I don't eat too much at McDonald's. Once in a time, I don't eat too much at McDonald's because they, a lot of you use the grease a lot, the same grease a lot, so I don't eat from them too much. And she gave her last 2 bites. And I think I saw the equivalence of 88 cents I saw in the Bible. I don't know because I don't know the value of mics, but I think one of my Bibles says it was 88 cents, value 88 cents, some of that. And she gave it all. In that time, that would be a lot of money. And Jesus says she gave more than all those that gave out of their abundance. Sometimes you only got $5. That's all you got. And the pastor called for an offering. You didn't make no money that month, that week, to give tithes, but you had $5. And you made a decision that you were going to give your $5. And the Lord recorded in heaven, had the angel recorded that you gave your $5. And then somebody called you up. You can't even get home good enough. I've done it. I'll tell you, because I know it's possible. You can't even get home good enough before somebody call you up or say, look, you know, man, I was looking for you for some time, man. I want to bless you. You know, man, I got this, I got that. I want to bless you. I said, praise the Lord. And God will have somebody bless you because you have given out of your need. And that's what happened with the woman with that two mites. She gave out of her need. The others were giving out their abundance. It wasn't hurting them. You know, when the man came up to T.D. Jakes and read him a check for $1 million and started prophesying, put his hand on TV, the people are laughing about it now, talking about it, you know, because it was just sure. And he's a multimillionaire. And to do it in the open, you know, you want to be seen. When you give, you give in secret. Now, if the person want to talk about it in the open, that's up to them. But you give in secret so God will reward you openly. God is just so awesome, man. He's just so awesome. And I just love the way he does things. I just thank God for the officers that are here on Blog Talk really and doing what God says to do for the kingdom. We're getting ready to. There's a lot of things that are happening right now, Apostle. We're getting ready to keep a man of God out of prison. I sent you the message last night on your phone, Apostle, if you can hear me. But I sent it on your phone, the information that I got. And I know because when I was there in 17, he was dealing with this case. He was dealing with that case. And they gave him, God gave him favor. I ordained him when I was there. God gave him favor. And now it comes up. And we are all the way over here in the United States of America. And Blog Talk family have to keep him out of jail. And because they want to put him in jail. Well, we have to help him not to go in jail. Because if he go in jail, he got four little kids. You know, he got three daughters and a son, four little kids. What? There's no work around there for them to have. He trying to sing a little music, make some, buy them CDs and make a music in the house and they sell the CD for a couple of dollars or something like that. Not like they can sell a CD for $10 here, like here, $30 here to take care of his family. So we got to keep him out of prison. Because prison in Africa is nothing like here. These people here got penthouse, man. That's why they go back to jail so much. They keep going back and forth to jail because it's like a penthouse. But if you ever see the prisons in Africa, you wouldn't even want to put your dog in even one of them places. You wouldn't want to put your cat in one of those places. You hear what I'm telling you? They're so bad. I've never been in one, but I've seen them. You know? And people are treated like animals. But anyway, we thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation, those that receive the gift of salvation later. And we are going to open the line now for anyone that want to respond. It's the same topic we talked about yesterday, Revelation, the redemption of the saints. And it's a lot of word I give this morning. I just give you, I put some scriptures. The Lord put some scriptures out of my spirit, but I give you two main scriptures. So you can go ahead and share, respond. If you don't have a one to respond, you got a song, you want to sing the song, or you got a scripture, you want to read the scripture, we are still recording. Got 59 minutes and 23 seconds to record. You can still read your scripture or sing your song. The line is open. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray and close out. People on the line, so we'll just pray and close out. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. What a strong word, God, that you have given to us this morning, as always. Lord, we just bless you and praise you, O God, for favor, putting favor upon our lives, O God. How you just taught us, O God, how to really trust you, how to depend on you, how to follow after righteousness, holiness, O God. We just bless you this morning. We ask you, Father God, to continue to touch us, continue to anoint us, continue to appoint us, our God, to do your bidding here in this earth, friend. And Father, we will stay faithful continually as we glorify your name, as we honor your name, God. We ask, Father God, as we leave this line but not your presence, that you will bless us in the city, you will bless us in the field, that you will continue to bless us when we come and bless us when we go, that you will make us the head and not the tail, that you will set us above and not beneath. Father, continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. We honor you, Father God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet commune of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, oh my God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today that would make all the difference in somebody's life. It might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, just breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Jesus knew that a lot of people, that we all have bad works, and he don't want those bad works to manifest in our lives. He want good works to manifest in our lives. In other words, he want the light to shine that people can come out of darkness and come into his marvelous light through our lifestyle, through our work, our walking. He wants that to happen. So I bless the Lord for you. I thank God for evangelist Sheila coming on late today because she's probably at work, and hope all is continuing to go well for her. Thank God for Prophetess Cheryl Kershey came on the whole service, and Apostle Stewart was on, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank God for Apostle Linda Washington, Pastor Bishop James Washington, and Apostle Millie Jefferson. We thank God for you all. I want you all to know that I love you all, and I thank you all for what you're doing in the kingdom, how you're helping us and helping the people of God that can't help themselves. And God will bless us all for what we all are doing. Okay? God will bless us all for what we are doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I shall see you all tomorrow. I don't know who's bringing the word, but if nobody is coming, I will still be here. I will do part four of this message. This message is so rich, I can't even get to all the scriptures that I have. And when the Holy Spirit holds me in one place, he wouldn't let me move from there. So we will move, continue to move as he gives us utterance, and as he leads us, we will follow him, because I can't go ahead of him. He's too wide, and I can't go over him. He's too tall. I can't go under him because he's too heavy. I can't go underneath him. I can't go around him. He's too wide. So I got to go. I have to follow him as he leads. God bless you all. I love you with the love of Christ, and I pray you all can get on early tomorrow. And Saturday, remember, if you got some kosher wine home or if you got grape juice and some crackers, you come on Saturday. I will be bringing the word on Saturday again. And come on, we're going to do Holy Communion first. First thing we're going to do is partake of Holy Communion. And then we're going to go into the word of God. Maybe a different teaching on Saturday. I don't know. But I know that tomorrow or Friday, one of them 2 days, will be the same teaching. We have the same teaching. I thank God for you all. Have a blessed afternoon. I just hear my baby coming, and I'm going to go see what she's doing, and I will talk to you all later. God bless you, and be safe. Bye-bye.